Dear Diary, whenever we hear or see those words together, it almost always implies that we're up for some honesty. Like we're soon going to witness something personal, something intimate, something that we shouldn't be witnessing. There's this voyeuristic pleasure in reading someone else's diary. After all, diaries mean secrets. Secrets are aplenty in this case that we're exploring over our podcast, Death and a Dysfunctional Family. I'm Dibyut from Asiaville, and welcome to the second episode. In the first one, we explored how a 44-year-old engineer, Partho Day, and his father, Aurobindo, were found to have lived with decomposed dead bodies of his sister and two dogs at their house in Kolkata's Robinson Street for over 7 months. The police got to know about this, and it became an instant media sensation when they had found Aurobindo's body, who had burnt himself to death. This was just the skeleton of the case. And yes, that pun was intended. Soon, tales of necrophilia, incest, isolated childhood, weird beliefs about death started floating around the Day family's macabre case. But there was no evidence to back these wild rumors up until someone in the police leaked selected contents of extensive diaries that the Days would keep. The diaries immediately became the center of all attention, while Partho, the only living family member, was taken by the police and put under extensive interrogation. Now let's go back to the fateful morning of 11 June and understand the deviant functioning of this apparently bizarre family. As mentioned in the last episode, the entry of police to 3 Robinson Street was spine-chilling in itself, with a web of speakers constantly blaring out the sermons of American spiritual guru Joyce Meyer. Mr. Muralidhar, DCP Kolkata South, had described the house as dusty and not cared for. And according to Ishita Sanyal, a psychologist who looked after Partho from 2016 to the time of his death, her first impression of the house that it was a fractured setup. She says, "You enter the second floor, and there is the dining room. To its right, Partho's father's room and the bathroom. To the left of the drawing room, the room Partho and Devjani shared. On the walls were framed photographs of Joyce Meyer, and the floor was dotted with plastic bundles of clothes, toys, and books. Across the house, there were small handwritten notes written by the 3 Days. Bundles of handwritten notes were found stacked in pouches, cracks in the walls, compartments of almirahs, and even inside cushions. The police inferred that after the communication breakdown, it's through these notes that the family members would talk amongst themselves. The house also was filled with drawings, doodles, and hundreds of CDs containing religious teachings from gurus of Bengal, Europe, and the US. This was unlike anything Kolkata police had previously dealt with. A house filled with these suspicious notes, spiritual CDs, creepy drawings. And it all hit the fan when police followed the distinct stench of a decomposed corpse and opened one of the bedrooms. That's where the skeleton of Devjani and the dogs were found. Partho was hesitant to let the police enter even. It was difficult to enter the room. First, the stench, and then the darkness. Partho Day had covered all the windows with bed sheets and jammed every inch of opening with pieces of cloth so the stench would not escape, an officer had told the APP group back then. The cops just couldn't make sense of what they were seeing until they found 10 exercise books Partho used to make his diary entries in. According to police, all the 3 Days used to maintain diaries. Aurobindo, whose last piece of writing was a suicide note where he refused to blame anyone for his death and left his last words, "I love you, Beta," made diary entries till April 15th, where he mentions his plan to divide the property equally between Devjani and Partho. But something there doesn't fit. According to interviews given by Partho, he said that Aurobindo was told about his daughter's death on March 10, 2015. Then why was he thinking of leaving Devjani a share in the month of April? This was only the beginning of contradictions and confusions in this fascinating case. According to reports and the police, Devjani's notes were crisply written, precise, coherent, and dated. Meanwhile, Partho's diary entries were repetitive and slightly incoherent. In the first two diaries, Partho's incoherent narrative raised eyebrows among experts, while the media was losing its top over the masala it had found in the bizarre sexual overtones in his entries. In one of them, Partho recounted how Devjani was asserting her independence as she was growing up, and their overly controlling mother grew quote-unquote jealous of her, and how she made Devjani strip in the bathroom at one of their family outings. In some of the entries, it seems that Partho had sensed his mother's growing concern over his physical closeness with his elder sister and even expressed his dislike for his mother. But Partho contradicts himself in other entries where he eulogizes his mother. Sometimes Partho even mixes up his mother with the grandmother, and he talks endearingly of both on these occasions. He narrates how his mother fought against breast cancer till her death in 2007 and claims that he could not attend his mother's last rites.
The enemy tried to take the mother. The enemy tried to take my mother and it failed. It lost. The biggest fuck trial. The devil got... My mother had a very powerful will. She fought with all her weight.
Partho wrote before his mother fell victim to cancer. This falls in line with the animosity between Aurobindo's family and his mother Shanti, who favored Aurobindo's brother Orun all along. The ones accepted as Partho's writings were a mixed pack of conflicting comments about his mother, graphic descriptions of sex, and mysterious references to a maid who would be sent to Partho to excite him, as Partho thought that his mother considered him important. In one of those entries, he writes, "All men and women are dancing, either to the tune or out of the tune," before going on to describe a physically explicit scene. While Partho himself admitted how Aurobindo had slipped into severe depression after he got to know about his daughter's death and stopped talking to Partho, Partho wrote in his diary, "The best part of our family is that in spirit we are 100%, all 100%. Whatever we do is 100%, trying to do what we know is right according to our conscience." Partho didn't always finish one exercise book before picking up another. Some had 20 pages filled, some 10, some even 5. While some described sexual acts in uncomfortable detail, while others dwelled on the state of the family. At 3 Robinson Street, the police also found several drawing books with Partho Day inscribed on the cover. Most of these drawings are of monkeys and dogs in different postures. It's as if a class 1 kid had drawn them. We found several comics from Archie's to Amar Chitra Katha and Mahabharat. Many of them even had fresh labels of a bookstore on Lord Sinha Road, an officer said. But the problem lies in how much we can actually depend on these diary entries made by someone who was later diagnosed with paranoid schizophrenia and psychosis, and according to another forensic psychiatrist, personality disorder with narcissistic, avoidant, and obsessional features. Though even after 5 years from the revelation and 3 years since Partho's death, we cannot rule anything out, including incestual hues, unconscious necrophilia, but experts do caution against taking Partho's diary entries for its word. We can't be sure as to what really happened and what was figments of Partho's imagination. Another aspect of the written material that has confounded investigators and psychologists alike are the handwritten notes that were found all across the house. In one set of writing, someone wonders, "Ei pothei ki jibon cholar chilo? Was this the way my life was supposed to shape up?" Another person replies that God would save him. A third person writes that the one who asked the question is quote-unquote heading in the right direction. I know it sounds confusing, but that's probably how the days communicated through notes. Devjani, according to Partho, was very religious. And that's why she starved herself to death in a bid to attain God and cleanse the house of negative spirits following the deaths of their two dogs. There's a lot of smoke around what Devjani was actually like. How did she interact? What did she believe in? How did she live? And how she died? She would be the focus of the next episode. But for now, let's look at the second round of diary entries that the police had discovered in 2015. In these entries, the writing is more structured, crisp, and the writing less convoluted. Also, Partho has dated every entry, which wasn't the case in the other diaries. Sometimes he uses a single sentence to describe a day's development, like his father Aurobindo used to. He wrote in red, blue, and green sketch pens to depict his feelings. And unlike his earlier writings, he uses emoticons liberally in this one. What is most striking that there is only a fleeting reference to Devjani, who he calls a saint, but there is no mention of his mother. The mother who Partho had extensively written about in his previous entries. In this one, he says that he missed the dead dogs terribly. Actually, most of this diary discusses his father's attempt to sell off property, but there is no sign of the animosity that estranged him and Devjani from Aurobindo. But all of the diary's contents put together do not explain how Partho and later his father lost touch with reality and lived with the corpse of Devjani as if she never left. And what about Devjani's beliefs that she gave the so-called God her life to rid the house of trouble? What was she like when she taught music at Don Bosco school? What kind of impact did her religious beliefs have on Partho, who might anyway have been suffering from schizophrenia? To understand this Hitchcockian puzzle of how the collective conscience of the days were altered at the face of grief and an unknown adversity, we must see beyond Devjani's skeleton. Remember, as it was in Hitchcock's Psycho, the grotesque here is operatic. And we are constantly fooled by the appearance of the grotesque. In episode 3, we put ourselves in the shoes of the days and try to find logic in what might have led to the wiping out of an elite Kolkata family that apparently had everything. There is more to this story than the shock elements of skeleton deaths and dubious diary entries. We move beyond red herrings in the next episode. Stay tuned. I'm Dibbayudh, and you are listening to Death and a Dysfunctional Family, an Asia Will production.